Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Entrada Group's ongoing series on manufacturing in Mexico. Today, we have Darren Gifford. Darren is management consulting partner with Plant Moran. He has more than three decades in automotive and manufacturing, including in both operations and strategic management consulting with OEMs, suppliers, dealers, and service providers. Darren, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
So let's jump right into it. You recently wrote a guest blog in Automotive News titled "How Suppliers Can Seize New Opportunities in Mexico." In that post, you discussed the tremendous investment that's going on in Mexico over the last couple of years. I think you quoted a figure of around $23 billion. Why is Mexico becoming so attractive for the automotive OEMs?
Well, Mexico has been a place where many of the OEMs have operated for quite a long time. They've gone there traditionally for lower labor costs and built primarily, I'll call it, smaller cars or maybe some of their older generation cars in some cases. Some real examples in the past have been things like the old Nissan Sentra, the Mercury Milan, the Pontiac Aztec of all vehicles. Now, what's become more attractive for OEMs in the last few years and going forward is still the labor and the cost overall, because it's not just labor cost, but it's also the infrastructure cost in Mexico is really becoming much more equivalent to where China is. Some of that's because China's costs are coming up so much, but it's also easy access to the North American, to the U.S. market. So from a North American standpoint, Mexico is a great emerging country to be able to locate production in, and with the NAFTA agreement in place, it's also easy to move goods across the border up into the U.S., but also to export some of these vehicles from Mexico into other countries.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. We have seen a number of European suppliers, which we're going to talk a little bit later, that are looking at Mexico to produce in Mexico, because not only can they qualify for NAFTA, but it'll allow them to ship also to North America, maybe back to Europe or to Asia. Do the other trade agreements have an effect on manufacturers' decisions to set up in Mexico?
Yes, we believe that's exactly the example you cited from the European automakers coming into Mexico. But New Mexico has favorable trade agreements with 42 different countries. So it's more than just the United States. I'd foresee that it's going to become a hub for exporting some of these vehicles to other countries around the world, U.S. included, of course, because as I said, we're probably the easiest for them. It's all land transport up to the U.S. But I think we're going to see that from a number of the OEMs. And you're seeing, as you said, the Europeans are here. The Germans are clearly investing heavily in Mexico. Volkswagen's doubling the size of the Puebla operation, I believe, and BMW is putting their new plant in San Luis Potosi for the 3 Series, which is really the one of the crown jewels within the BMW lineup.
You had another quote in your blog post that was, smaller and even mid-sized suppliers will have to decide if they have the capability, financial and otherwise, to follow their key customers into Mexico. And the clock is ticking as new plants need to be on the line within 2 to 3 years to meet vehicle launch targets. What are the major challenges that suppliers are going to see in setting up in Mexico? And what is the urgency that's driving this? Is it the OEM pressure?
Well, I'll start with the second one, because the urgency is the customer in this case, because the OEMs have identified their launch programs and they have their timing and cadence in place now. The 3 Series, for example, back to the BMW, I believe is supposed to launch in 2018. So there's a 3-year window in here. If you're a supplier to that vehicle and to that plant, you need to be online and you need to be through all of your certifications, your PPAP and APQP processes, and make sure your parts are ready to go when that vehicle is supposed to roll off in the production line on job one. So that's a lot of the time pressure from the OEM and customer standpoint, and it's very expensive to miss those kind of deadlines. And they're also pushing all their suppliers to locate with them down there. So they want to minimize the inbound transport cost as well as just the real time being able to react to schedules and the like by being close by. So that's the second part of the question. The first part really, I think, is around some of the challenges facing them that you asked about. And I think that, for one, especially if you're a small and mid-sized company and supplier, is going to be just the capital requirement to follow the OEM down there and to set up an operation with the capacity that they need. So there's risk around that, of course. So it takes money to get that going, and you know it's money that is precious capital because they may need it for also expanding operations in the U.S. or in other countries. So they really need to go through that process and understand what is their return on investment. In many cases, and we've recently conducted a survey of mid-market suppliers in the industry as well around some of their pressures. In many cases, because it's their critical customer, they feel like there's no choice. And so they've got to figure out the financial and the operational mechanisms and to get that to happen. And the operational side being, you know, what kind of expertise and resources are they going to need, you know, beyond just the capital for plant equipment and tooling that have to go in down there? How do they keep that program moving along so it's on time, as you said, to meet that pressure on the deadline, on making sure they get that into production in time for the OEM for their vehicle that's coming off the line? So there's a lot of moving parts to make this happen.
I'd also like to talk to you a little bit about the strategy of some of these suppliers in terms of the market. You mentioned that they're all going down for critical clients, but they can't just possibly be going down for one client. I assume that they've got their critical client, but their plan is then to potentially expand their business and to further utilize that investment.
Absolutely, Doug. And you know, the companies that we've worked with, our clients that are only going down because of one customer. And sometimes, if they, you know, we've even had to advise them that how firm and how strong is the contractual relationship with that particular customer. To go down for just one customer is high risk. To go down without a customer is very high risk. We would not advise people to take on the build it and they will come strategy. But getting the one customer is key to getting that initial capacity established and getting the operation moving and getting revenue, frankly, into the business that's there. So that's the critical part of this it's really going to drive the success of the business. But very quickly, they need to diversify and expand and look for other customers that they can supply those components or materials to. The sooner they can do that, even before they launch production, the better off they're going to be, because they're going to have a more diverse revenue base to work with. Frankly, their original customer that they probably have followed down there will actually be happier as well, because now there's going to be more stability in the operation for them going forward. So it'll reduce their risk factors around maintaining that supply base into the plant.
We've seen, for lack of a better word, the internationalization of the Mexican automotive market, and it's, you know, it's obviously the Detroit 3 and Nissan were some, and VW were some of the first ones there, but we're now seeing additional Japanese companies, now a South Korean company, Audi is setting up, BMW is setting up, and so it's really becoming much more international. And my experience has been, and I'd like to get your input on this, as the suppliers of particularly the German OEMs set up their Mexican operation, they're looking for a way to penetrate the whole North American market. Yes, Audi is providing an opportunity for them to establish, but they intend to sell to the Japanese transplants. They intend to sell to the Detroit. They're creating more competition for the traditional North American suppliers. So my question is sort of twofold. A, are you seeing that trend also, that this competition is coming, and what does that mean for the traditional North American suppliers? And then I guess the second part of my question is, what is that going to mean? Do you think it is a true statement that where Japanese used to traditionally sell to Japanese, Germans traditionally to Germans, North Americans to North Americans, do you see in Mexico that market breaking apart? Will you have a German supplier selling to a Japanese OEM?
Doug, I think you're absolutely correct. In the view that you know, there's a lot of diversity or diversification happening amongst the supply base. So I think that you're going to see a lot more of that movement where the supplier may have a lead customer. For example, if it's a German relationship that's very strong, and we see that all the time, they are looking to sell their parts, their components, their systems into U.S. companies, Japanese companies, Korean companies, you know, other global players out there. What they're selling is their expertise and capability, and so that's what they're competing against. Likewise with the Japanese Keiretsu suppliers as well. They are all on a mission to diversify their customer base as well. So, you know, serve the primary in most cases, and to make sure that that doesn't fall apart. So as you can imagine, it's going to create quite a bit of, I call it some confusion amongst the different suppliers in some cases, because they still are going to have their primaries and what they might call their secondary targets out there. They're going to have to step up their game as far as the requirements, because each of the requirements of those OEMs is somewhat different as far as what they're really looking for out of their supply base. For the North American suppliers, the first question that you asked, I think it actually creates a lot of opportunity for them. So for the North American supplier, what used to be a closed market to them within the European or a Japanese or Korean OEM, you know, now may be an opportunity to it opens up a bit. I think their expectations need to be realistic as far as the level of business that they might be able to acquire. But you know, once they get themselves established and can get that footprint, you know, inside of one of those OEMs, you know, as that OEM grows, then you know, they can also grow along with it. And so it's, I think it's a real opportunity for North American suppliers, even more than a threat in many cases.
So before my next question, I need to disclose to the audience that Intrada Group assists medium-sized manufacturers and smaller manufacturers set up and manage their operations in Mexico. But I'd like to get your opinion on for these smaller companies who may have limited resources, as we discussed, what are viable options for them to get to set up and work in Mexico?
Well, you know, there's a number of options, as you well know, Doug, for setting up your business in Mexico. The challenge with when you're a smaller supplier is the level of investment that you can take on. And so it may not make a lot of sense, or you may not have the kind of customer commitment that you can justify setting up a wholly owned subsidiary in Mexico. So the options that, you know, we also work with our clients on as well and consult with them on what those alternatives might be and work with your group as well. You know, what are some other options that reduce the capital requirement and reduce the risk to you as an organization? And you know, some of those would involve contracting with manufacturers there or outsourcing, and if you want to call it that. That does create some risks for the suppliers and some of the intellectual capital they might be sharing, as well as just the control and management over the operation. So the, you know, the opportunity to use the shelter manufacturing, something that I know that is growing in popularity, is a great opportunity in many cases for, you know, the mid-market supplier to control more of the production and quality, as well as then take benefit out of the experience for that organization to be able to access the resources, the skills, the capabilities of the local market out there. And so it's a very reasonable entry point for the mid-market supplier to get into Mexico and see how it really goes, rather than trying to greenfield their own operations and then really learn the marketplace, because a lot of this is going to be new to the smaller and mid-market manufacturer. And you know, Mexico is, even though it's still pretty accessible, it's very close to the U.S., it's still another country, and it's still a different culture, and it's a different environment to go conduct your business and your operations in.
So when we first started our business 13 years ago, and when the industry really started 25, 30, 40 years ago, a lot of what you saw in the supply base that was coming down had a significant amount of labor in it. We currently, over the last 3-4 years, we currently have seen far more sophisticated companies taking a look at Mexico. Heavy investment in capital machinery, far more capital machinery intense than labor intense. Is this a trend that you're seeing? And can Mexico support this type of industry?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We're seeing the operations that are going into Mexico are not last generation operations, they're next generation operations. So companies going down there are putting in their technology. It's a leapfrog process in many cases of putting in, as you said, the higher tech type of operations, the more automated operations, the more precision manufacturing type capabilities. And those don't require as much manual labor. They do require a higher skilled labor, though, in order to be able to set up those machines, to maintain them, to do the programming. To, you know, that's a different skill set than just someone who's a traditional low-skilled type laborer. And so Mexico does have some good capabilities that way, but they need to grow those. That's going to be the challenge. Is going to be, and the government's very conscious of that as well. But they're providing incentives. They're trying to encourage people. It's going to need to be a more educated workforce going forward. But you know, there's a lot of opportunities from that standpoint that are really good in Mexico. The other part in Mexico, I think, that's attractive, because it's not just about labor cost; it's the infrastructure as well. And you know, the ability within Mexico from a not only a cost standpoint, but the ability to build out a manufacturing operation and to transport goods. There's some challenges there, but there's also some good capabilities there in Mexico as well that can be very attractive to an automotive manufacturer.
A lot of our clients, second and third tier suppliers or smaller first tier suppliers, they run into issues of financing when they bring their equipment or their raw material across the border. The bank no longer will look at it as collateral. A, are you seeing this also? And B, have you seen any creative strategies to overcome this?
Yeah, we see that quite frequently. And actually, some of our clients are the banks themselves. And so they struggle with that as well, because the lending rules and lending practices really prevent them from being able to use those assets once they cross the border, be able to put a good lien against them. I think we've seen from the creative side on financing those kinds of things, is working with, frankly, it's going to have to be one of the larger banks, the global banks that have established their own relationships in a country like Mexico. It could be Mexico or other countries, but to try and set the lending operation, through that local entity, so they have access to the assets on that side. Because with a loan, that's typically they want to have assurance of the ability to repay the loan terms. But in case of a default or a problem with that, that's when they want to have access to the assets themselves. And that's what creates it's kind of a simple financing equation, but it creates some very difficult situations or intricacies, as you just described in that case. The other part that we have seen, although they don't like to do it a lot, if you're truly critical in the process, is going to be some funding from the customer themselves. It could be the OEM or the Tier 1 supplier can also help contribute to that, because they're just larger entities if they really want to support you there. I wouldn't start with that, because I don't necessarily you can count on that all the time, and they don't like to be a financing mechanism. But that we have seen instances where that does occur as well. So it's not you don't have to just lean purely on the bank.
I want to give you the opportunity to, if there's anything else you would like to add, please feel free to do it. But I do appreciate your time today.
Oh, thanks very much, Doug. I think the only things that I would add a couple points that I think for really driving success for any of the supplier any suppliers that would want to looking to expand into Mexico. It's back to, I think, the original discussion point is that the launch of your production is absolutely crucial to be successful. So I can't underemphasize, putting the resources toward making sure that operation gets up and running on a timely and cost-effective basis too. But it needs to meet the production timeline for the OEM. I think not only the labor force, but really currying that local labor force and working with that labor force to really work on developing innovation and the ability to adapt and move the organization in Mexico, so it's not all coming purely out of headquarters somewhere, but getting that operation to also provide that kind of innovation to the customer is another area that would be key to success and to differentiating yourself from competitors in the future.
I think that's a very interesting comment. We always have clients that initially go down thinking that it's about cheap labor. Maybe they'll have 35, 40, 50 people to get going. 3 to 5 years later, they've deepened what they're doing there. They've put in automation. They've put in some engineering. But it's, for lack of a better word, it's indigenous. The companies that succeed really well let that grow organically within their operation in Mexico, obviously with good systems, obviously with good oversight, but they let them figure out how to adapt to Mexico on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, absolutely. And the opportunity in Mexico at this point in time is really enormous right now, because the growth down there is going to be very significant over the next few years.
All right. We appreciate your time today.
Okay. Thank you very much, Doug.